Hey, everyone. Tamara here for another episode of Inside Launch Street Podcast, the place to be to perform at an optimal level, to drive more innovation, to be an everyday innovator, and for many of us, to lead a culture of innovation, to lead and build high-performing teams. And that is what I want to talk about today. So I am going to dive right in. This is going to be a short but important podcast for all of us to listen to. Now, when I say when you build and lead teams, those teams could be people that report to you, the colleagues that you work with, the people that you rely on to get your job done and done well, the people that you manage up. It could be your clients. Leadership happens at all levels, and that kind of concept of team can be a little bit fluid depending on how we work. And that's great. Today's topic absolutely applies to you. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about why process innovation fails and people innovation succeeds. So here's often what happens. When clients call me, they'll call me and say, we launched this innovation initiative. We spent gobs of money, like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and it's not working. People aren't buying in. They're not doing it. We can't get them to follow the process. Or they'll call me and they'll say, we've been trying to drive a culture of innovation by making collaboration a priority. So we've been putting people in cross-functional teams, or we set up a break room with a ping pong table so people can get to know each other. We've made innovation part of the culture by dialing up our willingness to take risks or to try new things. And yet, our people aren't moving in that direction, even though we've set up the environment, as they'd say, to actually work. So here's the thing. When we start with process-centered innovation, what ultimately happens is that we create initiative fatigue, and as those calls really highlight to me, a lack of buy-in. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to find a process that we can plug in that we think is going to create the culture that we want, that the people are going to fit into. And I'm sure as I'm saying this, you can kind of hear the problem right away. When we start with a process, what we really do are saying to people, here's another initiative you have to follow. Here's another process, another list of check marks that you need to go through. That creates massive initiative fatigue. People are exhausted. We have enough processes and initiatives to follow. So adding just another one isn't going to make me or your team more innovative. In fact, quite the opposite. It's going to shut us down. Now, here's what I would see as the bigger problem that fits along with that, and that is that lack of buy-in. So you're the leader, you come to your team or your company with a process, and I'm looking at it and I'm going, but my job's not an innovative one, or I'm not an innovator, or innovation happens at a 3 p.m. brainstorm, or I don't even know what innovation means anyway. So now you've given me a process that I don't even buy into because I don't even buy into the fact that I'm an innovator or that innovation is part of my job or my responsibility. So of course I'm not going to follow the initiative. That's for somebody else, but it is certainly not for me. How many of you have experienced that? And I actually think there's a third unintended consequence to this, which is, you know, we launch a process or we, you know, follow the step-by-step rules in a book of how to be a certain type of company. And we're asking, let me say this way. We are asking people who are on all different shapes and sizes. Everybody has a different style of innovation. We've talked about this. Your everyday innovator style is unique to mine. That's why we built our assessment, so that you could understand that how you innovate is different than me. And I'm different than Gregory over here, who's different than Vin, who's different than Latoya, who's different than John, right? We're all different. So when you're giving me one initiative with one way of doing things, you're asking all of us who are all these different shapes and sizes to fit into that square peg. It's kind of like, what is that, or fit in that round hole? What is that old phrase? Square peg, round hole. You can't fit a square peg into a round hole. I never get my phrase. If you know me, you know I never get my phrases right, but you know what I mean. So here we are. We're all different types of innovators, but you're asking us to follow one process that either doesn't work for us or we haven't done the work to figure out how to adjust it to match all these different everyday innovator styles and bring out the best in all these people. So in my experience, that's why process innovation fails. Initiative fatigue, lack of buy-in, and we're trying to fit everybody into a round hole. And that simply doesn't work. So if you're frustrated because you can't seem to get your team to buy in what feels like buy into the idea of innovation as part of the culture, as a process, or as a priority for you, I would really urge you to think about, is it that they don't buy into innovation, or is it that they're not buying into the process, the culture, the steps that you're laying out for them? I would argue that it's probably the latter. And if you're not sure which one, hey, set up a time to talk to me. Let's have a conversation about this, and I can help you pinpoint where I think the challenge might be. When we built our IQE, our Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment, we built it with the two benefits in mind. One was the individual and one is the team. And the individual levels, how do I perform at my peak? How do I be my best and reach my full potential and innovate on demand? And as a team, it's about how do we bring out the best in everybody in the team, both as individuals and as a collaboration? How do we create high-performing teams where everybody doing the work is innovating and taps the power of the diversity of thinking and styles on their team? That is so important to team success to be high-performing. We don't do that when we start with process. So I want to flip it for a second. What we do at Launch Street and what I've seen work time and time again is people first innovation. You know, high level, we call it here human centered innovation method. And everything we do is built around how do you as a human innovate? It's where our IQE, our assessment comes from. It's where the academy, the ongoing support and the kind of train the trainer programs that we have and the courses that we have come from. If we start with the people, the culture will be created. The process will naturally flow. So if you want to ignite, scale, and sustain strong innovation, we got to start with the people. People first innovation. Here's what happens. We all take the IQE. We all understand how we innovate. We all recognize that we're everyday innovators. So what do we have? Well, now we've got people who see themselves as innovators and act as innovators in the work that they do. They dial up their performance. Then we tap the power of the diversity of thinking in each other. We build stronger bonds in our team, stronger collaboration. We're able to solve challenges, not just individually, but together. When we do this, the culture starts to naturally bubble up because you're starting with the people. You're starting with the human side of innovation that we don't talk enough about. The culture is created, and then the process figures itself out. Here's what I'll say, by the way, about the process, because if you're in that position where you're like, oh, tomorrow I've already invested in design thinking or agile or any one of the other things, we often work in complement with that. I don't always think it's the best approach for your company or your team. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I'm not opposed to any of them. It's how you implement them that really matters. But when we've worked with companies who have already said, okay, we're committed to this. This is the type of company we are, but we don't have buy-in. The culture's not working. They're not, you know, people aren't kind of leaping forward to be innovators. We back up and we do this assessment with them. People understand how they innovate. We have all this discussion around how they're going to leverage each other, be the best, bring out the best in each other, all that good stuff. And then we talk about, well, how do we take this and apply it to the type of innovative company you want to be, you plan on being? And guess what? All those problems I talked before, initiative fatigue, goes away, because now it's not about initiative fatigue. It's not about another initiative. It's about being my best and applying that to the work. It's not about a lack of buy-in, because now I buy in that I'm an innovator. And whether you have a process or not you want to follow, either that's going to naturally flow and we're going to create that together, which I think is the best way. And or at least I now have buy-in that I'm an innovator and believe that there is a process that I should be following because I actually contribute to that process. And that third one I was talking about where kind of it's all these different types of pegs that go into a round hole. Well, now you're giving me a bunch of different holes for all of this stuff to fit in. You're telling me, okay, in fact, you're not just telling me, you're creating a process that allows for these different types of shapes, different diverse styles of thinking, of innovating to actually fit into the process, to be valued, to be heard, and you're dialing up their innovator performance. So this is why process first innovation fails and people first innovation succeeds. Let me talk a little bit about the why, the what, and the how of human-centered innovation. I mentioned it in the beginning, so I want to make sure I cover that. And that is human-centered innovation, as I said, it's all about the people first, how we as humans innovate and how we become stronger everyday innovators. And just to be clear, this is not about trying to become Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, J.K. Rowling, Oprah, Beyonce, whoever it is. They're great. They're amazing. They're innovators. But this is about doing it every single day in a way that works for us in the work that we do and making an impact in the communities, the people, the life that we have, the work that we do. So this is everyday. That's why everyday innovators, that phrase is so important to me and to our community, because that's what we are. We're everyday innovators, and our impact is just as important and valuable as the Elon Musk of the world. What he's doing is incredible. I always pick on him, but I love him. I love what he's done in the world with cars and just everything. But we need to be able to have that satisfaction, that joy, and that experience in our everyday lives too. And we do. And what we do matters just as much. It just shows up in a different way. So the why, the what, and the how. So the why of human-centered innovation. The reason we do this is because individuals, teams, organizations realize their full potential by igniting, scaling, and sustaining innovation. Because as I said, process first, innovation fails. People first, innovation works. This is why we want to focus on human-centered innovation. It works. The what of it is, kind of a how human-centered innovation came to life is, it's people first innovation, but it's built on a combination of neuroscience, behavioral psychology, organizational development, and of course, 25 years of work and research. All of that combined is how we get to the understanding of what human-centered innovation is, how it works, and how you can apply it. And the how, meaning how do we implement human-centered innovation? I'm telling you, okay, don't follow a process. So what do? Well, first, we show people their unique everyday innovator styles. We show them how their contributions make an impact, how each of them in the different styles matter, how they make an impact, how to bring out their best selves. And then we want to give them a toolbox that creates a lasting culture of innovation and mindset of innovation inside themselves. So we're going to show you how you innovate. We're going to show you how you contribute, how you can dial it up and elevate your game, and then give you the toolbox and support to be ongoing with you. So if you want to check out our tools and what I'm talking about here with the how, go to our website, and I've got links in the show notes. Here's what I hope that you take away from this, as I said, short but important podcast episode. And that is this. Being an everyday innovator is actually easy. We have the structures in our brains to innovate. We just have to get stronger at it and get access to the right tools. It's actually really easy. We're the ones that are actually making it hard. We have unlearned things that would help us be stronger innovators, and we just need to relearn them again. That's all. So being an everyday innovator is easy. However, it is a choice. While we all have the ability to be innovators, not all of us choose to be innovators. I know from my experience that everyone has an everyday innovator style that's unique to them, that makes them valuable, and that dials up their game. I also know that not everybody I've met is willing to put in the work it takes to figure out what you are, which really that is the simple part. That's just taking the assessment because it's built on research and science. But then saying, I'm choosing to be stronger at this. I'm choosing to dial up my game. I'm choosing to play at a more optimal level for me. And I'm choosing to tap the power of the diversity of thinking on my team too. That part is a choice. And I really hope that you make that choice with me, because when we become strong everyday innovators, we solve our biggest problems. We see opportunities that are hidden in plain sight that we missed before. And actually, we feel more joy and satisfaction in the work that we do. Our contributions and our impact become bigger. So I hope you'll make that choice with me. And with that, Tamara out.